So what I wanted to do this afternoon is talk about one of the things that is happening in the country that may hold some hope in moving us toward a single-payer system, and that's to look at state single-payer activity and really to concentrate on the Vermont example. Vermont adopted its Single Payment Act, Act 44, on the 25th of this year. And what it does is establish a framework for single payer. It builds on the PPACA legislation in terms of its health insurance exchange approach. It uses the term single payment instead of single payer, it's true. It creates a thing called the Green Mountain Healthcare Board and excludes financing provisions. So that's a real problem. I'm going to now dilate on each of these territories, but first I want to make the statement that I have no financial relationships with financial entities to disclose, and also that you should know that I am the immediate past president of this organization, but I never received any compensation from it. So let's talk about health benefit or health insurance exchanges. In PPACA, states are required to establish exchanges, or the federal government will step in, and they have to do this by 2014. PPACA actually does provide states, although with money, for exchange establishment, albeit that it doesn't specify the exact amounts. Exchanges in PPACA are designed to encourage the purchase of private health insurance using federal subsidies for low-income individuals and federal subsidies for small businesses, usually by tax exemption. So the interesting thing about Act 44 in the Vermont notion of an exchange is that they try to expand the definition of who the qualified individual is. Any legal resident of the state, as I understand it, and actually that legal ultimately was removed from the legislation after a lot of lobbying, so that indeed it is now one that covers any state resident. And any qualified employer, any business whose principal place of business is in Vermont. So what you have now is an exchange that is not just limited to the poor, but can in fact be open to all residents and businesses. And therefore, Vermont views the exchange as a potential vehicle to move from their multi-payer system to a single-payer system through the creation of a thing called Green Mountain Care. And they will do this at least initially alongside of Medicare and Medicaid. So who will be in the exchange? As I mentioned, certainly the low-income individuals, because that's what's in the federal legislation, small businesses through tax breaks. Then this very neat idea that if we want to get a large volume of people into the exchange and into Green Mountain Healthcare, let's take all state and municipal employees who are funded by taxes, right? But buy their health insurance now through a private health insurance company, let's put them into Green Mountain Care. Vermont would like to see Medicaid and Medicare beneficiaries in the exchange, but that's going to require a federal waiver, and such waivers are essentially not allowed until 2017. And finally, they would love to get all large national employers in their state to be in this, and they do have a very clever mechanism for conceiving that they could do that. just to give you a sense of the extent of the waivers, if you were truly going to include everybody in your exchange, it's quite amazing how fragmented our healthcare system is, even on the federal level. It's not just Medicare and Medicaid, but yes, there is a military base in the northern part of Vermont to protect us from Canada, I assume. And those folks are covered by TRICARE. And then, of course, there is a Veterans Administration hospital in Vermont. And then you have the problem of private insurance and this thing called ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, which says that any multi-state employer or any employer that is self-insured does not have to abide by state health insurance regulation, essentially. And in order to get them into the exchange, you would have to get some kind of ERISA exemption or waiver. Okay, so all of those things are not solved in Act 44, okay, because they are, in fact, something that PPACA doesn't allow Vermont to do in the short term. But what is in Act 44 is the notion of single payment. The state said, well, could we in fact create a uniform claims processing and payment method? Could we in essence put into effect kind of an all-payer system that eventually, in their hopes, would include Medicare and Medicaid through waivers, and some form of universal adjudication process? The idea is, according to Bill Schall, the Harvard economist that helped design Act 44, create a single pipe through which all payment goes, and when you do that, you have a much more efficient healthcare system, right? You don't have to have a different methodology for every, you know, insurance company. So, for instance, we compared Toronto General with Mass General, similarly sized hospitals, three billers in Toronto General, over 300 at the Mass General. Well, if they were able to put into place an all-payer or single payment system in Vermont, they would be able to save that enormous cost of overhead. And as you know, as you heard actually from Jonathan, on a nationwide basis, that would be probably $400 billion. Yes, Vermont's objective in creating an exchange was to control and reduce costs. To do that through the insurance overhead that I just described, as well as the provider paperwork overhead that is implicit in the multi-payer system. They also believed that their exchange could set up a system whereby there would be new provider payment mechanisms. They could really experiment with bonus payments linked to quality, advanced primary care homes and anchor specialists, as well as bundled payments. All terms that are used as pilots within PPACA, but they could put them into real effect throughout the state. Now, some people have said, well, the real problem with doing this, a single pipe or a single payment mechanism, is that it would violate antitrust laws. And there are aspects of single payment plan that would require competitors to work together. So, yes, it might be a violation of antitrust laws. But Vermont looked very carefully at this phenomenon called federal antitrust protection by state action doctrine. What is the state action doctrine? I've never heard of this before, but it grants immunity to states who want to create monopolies such as toll roads, you know, the New Jersey Turnpike, we all know that toll road, public utilities, cable TV, those are things that have been protected by state action doctrine. It is Vermont's belief that they could protect their single payment mechanism through the state action doctrine. What would be the organization of the Vermont healthcare system under this? Well, doctors would not be salaried. They would remain in private practice. Hospitals would be privately owned. And there would be provider payment through the single pipe, administered by a state agency or potentially a public benefit corporation. Dr. Shao favored the public benefit corporation. And that entity, both the state or the public benefit corporation, could contract with a private entity to perform billing, collections, and payouts. And I will describe in just a moment how Vermont thought this would be great, because they might actually do this with their nonprofit Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, which actually covers 70% presently of Vermonters. So what they did do, however, in Act 44 is that they created the Green Mountain Care Board, a government agency. It's a nonprofit entity appointed by the governor, approved by the legislature, and it has authority to do fee-for-service rate setting, capital investment approval, like, you know, what are called CONs, hospital budget review, and a review of health insurer rates overall. And these are the members of the board. It's a five-member board, kind of interesting, going across different types of people, from Anya Rader Wallach, who is clearly a health policy nick as president of Arrowhead Health Analytics, to someone like Al Gobeil, who is on the Chamber of Commerce, which you'd think might oppose this kind of development, also on the board of the Visiting Nurses Association, to Karen Hine, a pediatrician, actually somebody I know well because she and I were health policy fellows in 93-94 here in Washington, but she has some very extensive experience also as the former executive officer of the Institute of Medicine and the past president of the W.T. Grant Foundation. Cornelius Hogan, the Secretary of the State Agency for Human Services, and Alan Ramsey, representing, frankly, the largest teaching hospital in the state, Fletcher Allen. Well, what's left out of the Vermont legislation is actually the financing proposal. There are suggestions that they could consider a payroll tax, and Shao calculated that if you charged employers 11% of payroll and employees 3% of payroll, you would be able to finance the Vermont plan. There are some people who think that we should, in fact, be talking about 3, 11, 100, similar to 999, yes. 3% for the employee, 11% for the employer, and 100% coverage, right? There are the problems of the ERISA plans. The large employer, it turns out Vermont has only one such entity, that is IBM. But the neat idea that they came up with in Vermont is, well, if we had a payroll tax, we would just charge IBM 11% and their employees 3%. And they could decide whether or not they wanted to be part of Green Mountain Care or continue to offer their expensive private plan. This is what would be known as pay whether or not you play. And then finally, I just wanted to mention some things that could be done in terms of innovative prescription drug policy. I list these, and maybe because of time, I won't dilate on them, but it's really interesting. I'd never heard of these 304, 340B plans for low-income folks. They're out there, but let's apply them to the entire state, was the idea. This is gives the state the right to negotiate with the pharmaceutical industry for price of drugs. And actually, 304B plans get 19% to 50% reductions. And, you know, the entity in this country that gets the lowest price for drugs, everybody knows which one that is, it's the Veterans Administration, because it can negotiate with the pharmaceutical company directly. So Vermont has some very real single-payer features, guaranteed coverage for all, not linked to employment, a single system of provider payments and administrative rules, and global budgeting of health expenditures. Maybe it could work in Vermont, because what you have is the political will of a governor who was elected on a single-payer platform, Peter Shumlin, a legislature that has passed an act by 94 to 49, only one large employer, a dominant private insurer, Vermont Blue Cross Blue Shield, with 70% of the market, a small population, so it's a place where something might really happen, and a provider community that's overall receptive. But, believe me, there are still a lot of barriers. The insurance agents are furious. Pharma is very worried about the drug innovations that I just described to you. And as I mentioned earlier, PPACA says no state can experiment really with this kind of program until 2017. Let me stop there and turn things back to Martha.